Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that you did not call me to travel. Bless you, Lord. Praise be unto God. You know, when you're sitting on a plane for 15 hours, you have time to think. And I was thinking about the character and the nature of God. How he is able to know every thought, every ambition, every desire. I mean, he counts the number of hairs on their head, you know. It is an amazing thing to try to grasp how enormous God really is, that he keeps everything going, and that he knows every person in the world, he knows every thought they have, he knows everything about everything about everything. And sometimes we wonder, can he look after us? You know, when you put it in that kind of perspective, it feels a little bit absurd to think, can God look after me? Well, let's see, he's got about 6 billion people he's looking after. He keeps the sun where it's supposed to be, and he keeps the stars where they're supposed to be. And it's an amazing thing how God still wants intimacy with his children, with his people. He desires that, and he's calling us to that. And I thought, Lord, help me to begin to understand what that means. Because my brain can't grasp that. It's just too wonderful. It's too big. It's too all-encompassing. That, what is it the scripture says? Not a bird falls to the ground or something without him giving it permission. That's the God that we're related to. That's the God who has called you into his family. And he is well able to look after us in every single area. And I thought, God's desire is for intimacy with his children. He wants to have intimacy with us. And yet sometimes we're busy, we're afraid, we have a number of things that are going on. Life is hectic and so forth. But stopping to think about God and what he means in our lives every day, every day, every day. Every one of us in this room, I believe, has the hope of spending eternity with God. And so it would be helpful to know a little bit more about him, who he is. What does he think about? Do you know God has feelings? God has feelings. Amen. I was talking to somebody about that, and they looked at me like, no. I said, yeah, God has feelings. He has thoughts. He has desires. I wonder what he thinks of me. You ever thought of that? I wonder what God thinks of me. What does he want from me? What are his thoughts towards me? He has thoughts towards you. He says so. Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Good thoughts. Good thoughts. And I thought, I would like to understand more about God. about who he is. And so I started to think about the attributes of God. What's he like? What does he think about? What can I learn about him and still not be overwhelmed with it? And I thought, the scripture talks about God being the Father of mercies. And what does that mean? You know, what does the word mercy mean? What does it mean to me? What does mercy mean to you? What do you think about when you think of mercy? What kind of thoughts come through our minds? Mercy is an important variable. It's a very important part of the character and the nature of God. He speaks about it. When I was looking up in my concordance, number of times the word mercy shows up, it's pretty remarkable. It shows up a lot. God thinks about mercy a lot. And I thought, if he thinks about it, what is he thinking about mercy? What does he want to say to me and to us about mercy? How can mercy help me in my relationship with God? So I thought, there's a number of scriptures. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What does that speak to me? What does that say to you when you hear that? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What do you hear?
You reap what you sow.
You reap what you sow. That's pretty straightforward. You reap what you sow. That's true. However, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Specifically, that verse, what is it saying to us?
If I want to receive mercy, I have to be merciful to those around me.
Say it again.
If I want to receive mercy, I need to be merciful to those around me.
So we think of, do we want God to be merciful towards us?
Yes.
Why do we want him to be merciful towards us? Because judgment sucks. To be blunt. We want mercy for the times we fail. We want God's mercy. So what does that mean, that blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy? How does that impact my life? How does it impact? You think of Jesus, when he walked the earth, was he merciful?
He was.
Yes, he was. He was merciful to people who, to my knowledge, as far as I know in the scriptures, had not been merciful. They may or may not have been. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we know the heart of compassion that is in God, so we can see evidence of what mercy means. For example, the widow of Nain. She's taking her son to be buried, and Jesus is walking by and he sees them. What happens? His heart is moved with compassion and he raises up the woman's son. Now, as far as I could tell in scripture, he'd never met her before. She wasn't a personal friend. She hadn't invested in his ministry. So why did he help her? Why did Jesus help her?
She was moved by compassion.
Louder.
Because he's moved with compassion. Because, and that brings up an interesting point about being merciful and obtaining mercy. Because I think that when you are merciful, you have an easier time receiving mercy from God. If you're not disposed towards mercy towards others, you'll have a harder time to receive mercy, even if they offer it.
Mercy, our view of mercy, will affect the way we see God.
Absolutely.
That if we see him as a taskmaster, you know, someone who is always watching to see if you're going to mess up somewhere, then we're going to have a great deal of difficulty coming to him in our failures. But the Bible tells us that God is merciful. God is merciful. He's full of mercy. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. Great in mercy. Great in mercy. So that tells me that's an important quality of God. And if I want to draw closer to him, then that's an attribute that I need to embrace. I need to look at that, see what it means, and how should that affect me in my relationship with God and with God's people. And there's a scripture, well actually there's a number of them, in Hebrews 4:16, it tells us to come to the throne of grace. Come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. To obtain mercy. That we're to come to God for mercy. But he also tells us, I want to look at this particular scripture, James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Mercy is a quality of God. In James chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. For mercy triumphs over judgment." Now there's two really important points in this. Can you tell me what they are? Two really important points. Judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy, and mercy triumphs over judgment.
You reap what you sow.
You reap what you sow. In other words, if I'm not merciful to you, if I show no mercy, and under what circumstances would that manifest itself? Why would I have to show mercy? Why would you have to show mercy to someone?
They hurt me.
They hurt you. Okay? What else?
They failed in
something. In other words, there's a circumstance where someone, either purposely or not purposely, has done something which annoys you, irritates you, makes you angry, disappointed, dissatisfied. And how we handle that is important to God. That's important to God because he says so. He said it's important because he says here that judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. So if I refuse to have mercy on you and you refuse to have mercy on me, we're in trouble. We're in trouble with God. And there's no fooling God, you understand that? There's no fooling God. He looks right into the heart to see what's going on. That's the bad news. The good news is right after, and it says, mercy triumphs over judgment. What does that mean to you? What do you hear when you hear that sentence? Mercy triumphs over judgment. What are you hearing?
If you show mercy or kindness to someone who has done something they should not have done or did that that faced, then if you do the same thing because you're only human, then you will get the same thing.
That's essentially it. That in a situation where you mess up and judgment could come down hard on you, God is saying that if you're a merciful person and you show mercy to others, He's going to show mercy to you. And mercy will come instead of judgment. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? That's a pretty good promise from God. None of us want the judgment of God. We want the mercy of God. We want the mercy of God. The woman in John chapter 8, she was caught messing around. And they brought her to Jesus and said to Him, essentially, "The law says stone her to death. What do you say?" These people didn't care about this woman. They were looking to cause problems for Jesus. And how did Jesus respond to this woman? How did He respond? Because that gives us, John 5:19, Jesus said, "I only do what I see the Father doing." So what is He doing there in this circumstance? He's showing mercy. He said, "I don't condemn you." Now, He didn't say, "Go and do it again." He said, "Go and sin no more." But the fact is that He showed mercy. He showed mercy. He had compassion on her, even though the law authorized Him to stone her to death. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. We know the story of the prodigal son. He took his inheritance and he ran and squandered it. And when he came back, the father, who is showing the heart of God in this parable, what is he saying? What is he showing? What was the father doing? He was looking for him. He was looking for him. He was looking for him. He didn't write him off and say, "You know what? You're an ungrateful kid. Buzz off and don't come back again." He had mercy for him. He had mercy. And that's the heart of God. And if we can understand that, if we can say to God, help me, Lord, to know you on this level, to begin to understand the compassion and the mercy that is in your heart towards everyone. And help me to begin to appropriate it into my own life. It will change us. You see, it will change the way we approach God. Because if we know Him to be a kind, gracious, benevolent, forgiving person, we're not going to be afraid to go to God. We're not going to be afraid, even when we've messed up, to go to God and say, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I messed up. I need forgiveness. And help to change this." And God will help that. God will help that. Because that's the essence of who He is. God is a gracious person who is filled with mercy. And if we'll embrace mercy, it will please God. It will please God. And if you please God, your life is going to go better. Much better, probably. We don't have a tendency to show mercy when someone does something against us. Not typically. At least not initially, anyway. What do we tend to do?
We react.
We react. How can we change that? How can we change the way we relate to one another? First of all, is mercy a worthy objective?
Yes. The biggest example of mercy triumphing over judgment would be the cross.
Yes.
The entire thing where Jesus, instead of judging us, died for us, is obvious that mercy triumphed over judgment in that.
That's true. But I want to bring it down to where we live. You know, I want to, in our day-to-day lives, the interactions that we have with people. Do you have anyone who annoys you?
Every day.
Is there anyone in here who doesn't have someone who annoys them? So there's always opportunities for us to decide if we're going to go the judgment route or the mercy route. And the wonderful thing about God is that he's willing to teach us that lesson over and over again. That if we don't get it right the first time, God will give us another opportunity to show mercy. But to show mercy, it has to be genuine. It has to be something that is heartfelt and not simply, I don't want God to punish me, so I forgive you. I hope you die, but I forgive you. You understand what I'm saying? That it has to be from the heart. From the heart. God is a gracious person. God is full of mercy. And he's looking for you and I to be gracious and full of mercy. When we are, what happens to us? What happens? A number of things do. But one of the most important is the scripture I read. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That God himself has said, I'll have mercy on you if you are a merciful person to others. So that when you mess up, instead of judgment, now I'm not saying there's no consequences, but in the heart of God, there's forgiveness and grace. There is forgiveness and there is grace. And you know what? When you are merciful, you don't get your knickers in a knot so easily. You know? And you got to practice this. Practicing being merciful is something that we need to embrace because very few, if any, get it right off the bat. We learn to be merciful. How do we learn that? How can I learn? If I said to you, I see in the Bible that God wants me to be a merciful person, how can I do that? Help me. What would you say to me?
You might change your way of doing things and then correct it.
You have to know the word.
Okay.
Study the word. For myself, there's very few days that don't go by that I don't literally call up to the Lord and say, I need help.
Okay.
Like I do. I work in public. I need help. And I open my heart to it.
Yep. That's important. See, that's a critical aspect. Then you got to open your own heart to God to change, and say to God, "I want to have this characteristic in my life in increasing dimension. I want to be merciful. I want to be merciful, and opportunities will abound. I assure you." There'll be many opportunities. But it will please the Father. It will please the Father if we will show mercy. If we will show genuine mercy. In fact, Jesus said about the Good Samaritan. He talked about helping him out. He said to them, go and do likewise. Go and show mercy to someone. Go and show mercy. And it will draw you closer to the heart of God. God is a gracious person. God is a merciful person. We need his grace. We need his mercy. We want to have it. We want to have it. And so, as we go to God, because he says, go to the throne of grace in time of need, and you say to him, help me, Lord. Help me. I want to be a merciful person. I want to be like that. What's going to happen after? Opportunities. Opportunities. Opportunities to either say, yes, that's exactly, I meant what I said and I'm going to pursue this, or not. Or not. And it can only be maintained. It can only be maintained if we continue to grow in our intimacy with Christ. Because in our own flesh, it's far too difficult. It's too difficult. Some people are really annoying. And it's hard to be merciful. And only the grace of God can enable us to do that. Can enable us. And it draws us closer to the heart of God. Jesus spent 3 years teaching his disciples not to call down fire on people who disagreed with them. That was their initial response. Toast them. And he said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. I didn't come to destroy, I came to save. And you know, I absolutely guarantee you people will take note of that. And when you decide to be a great... Now, I'm not when I say gracious and merciful, I don't mean doormat. Okay? There's a difference between being gracious and merciful and being a doormat. That even if you have to say something, you can do so with a spirit of grace and tone it down with mercy. Because that's what we're looking for from our Father in heaven. And that's where we're going to be spending an eternity, is in the presence of God. And if he can count the hairs on your head, if he knows every thought you ever had, if he knows every desire that's ever come into your heart or your soul, I think he can help us with mercy. And I think he wants to. I think God is looking for people who will pursue him in developing character traits that look like Jesus. Today we're talking about mercy. There are others, of course. But the mercy is a good place to begin. It's a good place because we're always looking to God to have mercy on us. We're always looking to God. God, have mercy. And you know, his tender mercies include healing, wholeness, all of the things. You know, when you read through the Gospels, you'll see that the blind came to Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy. A woman came to have mercy on me and have mercy on my daughter. And that mercy was that God's power would be released into their circumstance. That God would restore this one or that one. That God would have mercy in their circumstances. And I want that. I want God's mercy. I want God's mercy. That's step one. I want it. Then after that, it's making the firm decision that in the circumstances of life, my go-to will be mercy. Not retribution, not judgment, not reaction even, but mercy. That will only happen as I stay connected to the one who is mercy. God is mercy. God is love. Love shows mercy. It shows compassion. It shows graciousness. You know, you and I are getting prepared to spend eternity in heaven. We're getting prepared for that. And so, in doing that, I want to arrive there with at least some of his attributes developed in my character. That I will not feel so out of place. I never forget this. General Booth, I think his name is the guy who started the Salvation Army. Is that him? That he had a dream one night that he went to heaven and he saw Jesus and a bunch of people around Jesus. And he said in the dream, Jesus said to him, you're not going to feel at ease here. You know, these are people who have given their lives for me. I don't mean dead. I mean that they have committed their lives and lived their lives for me. And you're not going to be very happy among these people. And so what is Jesus saying to him? That's not the kind of thing we want to hear, is it? So neither did he, by the way. So he came back, woke from his dream, and it completely transformed his life. Completely. And that's the thing that if we learn to seek after Christ at times that we're not in crisis, then when the moments of crisis come, we have the assurance of God's character. Does that make sense to you? That if we will practice loving God on a day-to-day basis, then in the moment when I need God, I need a miracle, I need God to come through, I won't be wondering, because I'll know His character. I'll know His character. I'll know that God is going to come through for me. I'll know that I can depend on Him. I'll know that He's not going to abandon me and say, hey, tough noogie. We want that in God. We want to have that kind of intimacy with God, even if we don't realize we do. We want to draw close to God because God made you. God made you. So He is the one who knows exactly what you need. He knows what you need. He knows how to fix you. He knows how to do everything. And so in our relationship with Him, there will come healing, there will come wholeness, there will come all the things, you know, that we need to have. We need to have. And in our dying moments, there will be no fear. There will be no fear. Because you'll know the one you're going to see shortly. You'll know Jesus. And we can do that right here. But it requires a decision. It requires a decision that says, God, I want to know You. I want to know You here. I want to know You now. I want my relationship with You to go deeper. I want to understand You. Not that we'll ever completely understand God, but if I understand His nature, if I understand His character a little better, it will help me. It will help me. Does that make sense? Amen. Questions? Thoughts? What do you think of that? Is this something useful? You know?
I personally think I have to try and do it before I have a question, because as you do it,
know where you're short. Yeah. And probably as you do it, the question will be answered.
Oh,
praise God. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's true. Sorry?
You have to do it even if you don't feel it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if we only do the things we feel like doing, we'll never do it. Yes, sir. How does mercy relate to grace? That's a good question. What comes to mind is a scripture that says grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Why was it formatted like that? Well, because we couldn't handle truth unless we had grace first. Grace enables us to handle truth. Mercy is when we've screwed up. You know, we've made a mess of things. We haven't done what we should have done. And so we go to God and plead for mercy. We plead for mercy. Much like a student would come and say, please, don't give me an F. Please, 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 please. You know, they're asking for mercy. And that's what having a heart towards God. And one of the benefits of it is that it will help me to get closer to God. I'll get closer to God. God likes people who are merciful. Yes. He likes people who are merciful. Amen. Because He is merciful. God likes people who are gracious. So if I can learn to be gracious and merciful, it will enable me to come closer to the presence of God. Is that not good? Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Any other thoughts? Okay. Well, Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for the goodness of your heart towards us. I'm grateful to you, Lord. I'm especially grateful I live in Canada, but I'm grateful to you, Jesus. I'm grateful for your mercy. I'm grateful, Lord, that you reach out to us with a hand of grace and mercy, that you emphasize the qualities of love and kindness. And although we know you have expectations towards us, that those expectations come with your grace, with your help, with your mercy, with your kindness. They help us. All of those things help me to be able to look at the things in my life that need to be changed, and I can come to the throne of grace and say, Lord, help me. Help me in my time of need, and that time is now, Lord. Help me to become the person that you've called me to be. Help me to be merciful and gracious and full of kindness and benevolence. Because that's how you are, Jesus. That's exactly how you are. And it is the desire of my heart to draw closer to you, Lord. So help me this morning. Help us, O God. Help every person here who has a desire to draw closer to the heart of the person who created them. Lord, help us especially to understand the magnitude of who you are. That there isn't anything that's beyond your grasp. There's nothing you don't understand. That you created everything and know everything. And you know exactly what it is that we need. I'm grateful to you, Jesus. I thank God. I thank you, Lord. And I ask you, Father, to bless the people of this church. Bless them. Pour out your blessing on every man, woman, and child here, Lord. Pour out your mercy. Pour out your grace, Jesus. Let there be an abundance of gracious mercy over every individual. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.